Okay, the boy says today's daf is daf ayin hey, and we're holding the third line from the top of the Amud where the Gemara is quoting from the Mishnah of yesterday. Chalois boilelon divrei Rebbe v'chamam oimrim soilis. What exactly is this machlokes? So if we go back to the Mishnah of yesterday, you'll recall, why don't we look at the beginning of the Mishnah, because we're going to refer to it as we go through the Gemara. Kol amenochis anasis bekli to unois shloisha matonois shemen. Your typical mincha requires three installments of shemen of oil. What are those three installments? You have yitzika, belila, and matan shemen bekli koidim laasiyosam. The Mishnah is written in a somewhat mysterious manner because these three installments are accurate, but they're in reverse order. It's v'nehapachu, because the first nesina shemen is the third one, the matan shemen, the kli, koidim le'asiyosan, which as we explained yesterday means that when you take the mizrak in which you're going to go and pour in the soles for purposes of taking a kamitza and putting it on the mizbeach, etc., first you put the shemen inside the kli, and then you pour in the soles. After that, Rashi explains, you mix it with warm water with poishrin, and now you have a shtickel dough, and at this point you put in the second installment of shemen, which the Mishnah refers to as the belila. Other Gemaras refer to it as the bila, but that is the second installment which you now add to this isa, to the dough, and you continue making it now nicely kneaded, and that is the essence of the shemen of belila, that you mix it together with the existing soles, as well as the pre-existing shemen that was there from before. After you do a very, very nice dough, and it's all gishmak, and it's all great, now you do your final nisina shemen, which the Mishnah refers to as yitzika. The Mishnah, of course, is quoting the Lashon HaPasuk, V'yotzak oleha shemen. So, therefore, in reverse order, you have the matan shemen bekli koidim la'asiyosan. Then at the time of the mixing, you have the belila. And finally, when you're done, you put in the yitzika. Okay, so that's all very fine. Now the Gemara, or the Mishnah, focuses on the actual mincha itself, as opposed to the shemen. Chalois boilon divrei Rebbe v'chamam oimrim soilis. Now what does that mean? So if you look at the Rashi down below, the Rashi Ksav Yad, where it says v'chalois boilon, it's about seven lines from the bottom of the Amud. L'minchas machvas u'marcheshes kishehen chalois afuyois boilon shechoizer u'poisesan v'noisin shemen leboilon. What is this machlokes all about? The machlokes is, it's all very well if you're talking about a minchas soles. Soles, as you know, is the fine flour that you pour into the mizrak after you already poured in the shemen, you put in the soles, put in hot water, not hot water, poshrin, and then, why don't we go back to one Rashi earlier? Koidim la'asiyosan. You see that, that's the second Rashi in the Mishnah. First you put the shemen into the kli, and then you put in the flour, and now you start your kneading with poishrin with warm water, now pour the shemen in, and now do your mixing, that's your belila, and now that I've mixed it well and I've kneaded it well, then you put in your final shemen, so those are the three stages. Then that's very good if you're dealing with a minchas solis. But now if you're dealing with a minchas machvas umarcheshes, the question is, when do I put in the oil for the belila, and then subsequently for the yitzika? Now, if you were going to go and pour in the shemen for the belila, after these machvas and marcheshes minochis have already been processed, in other words, machvas, they made it into something like a pancake. Marcheshes, they made it something like a knedel. After this is done, where do you, now you're going to go and add the shemen for belila to to go and mix it. L'chore, the belila takes place at the time of the initial dough, not after it's already a finished product. Then what are you mixing? How does that work? So because of that, skipping to the Chachamim for a moment, the Chachamim say, Kishahin soilis boilalan, which would mean the same thing that you did with your normal minchas soilis, that is, again, shemen, put in the soilis, the flour, add the warm water, make your initial isa, add your extra, the second installment of shemen, and now mix it thoroughly, and that's your belila. And at that point, what would we do? And then you pour in the yitzika, and now you take these chalois, not these chalois, the isa, that has now had the benefit of the three installments of shemen, and now you go and put it into the marcheshes or the machvas, respectively. And that's what the chachamim hold. Kishen soilis boilan. You throw in the shemen at the time of when it was still soles before you put it in the machvas or the marcheshes. What happens after you take it out of the machvas or marcheshes? Now it's time for kmitza. But you can't make a kmitza if you're dealing with loaves of either marcheshes or machvas menochis. So what you have to do is pasos oisa pitim. You have to tzebrekle it, you crumble it, make it into crumbs. We're going to learn more about the process of the crumbling on the Amud Beis in Yerz Hashem. And then after now it's in crumbs, the Kohen puts his three fingers in and does the kmitza. You put it on the Mizbeach, and the Shirayim is Nechal the Kohen. That's very simple according to the Chacham. According to Rebbe, the process is a little bit different. In which respect? Again, you start off with your Nesina Shemen Bikli. You go and add the flour, the Sofes. Now you go and add the warm water and make it into an Isa. And now, all of a sudden, you stop and you take this Isa, which only had one Nesina Shemen at the very outset, and you go and put it into your machvas or into your marcheshes, make it into your loaves of marcheshes and machvas mincha. After they are processed and cooked, you take them out, and now do your psisa at this time. Make it into the equivalent of matzah meal, if you will, by crumbling it up. And now you add that second amount, the second installment of shemen. Now you do your bila or belila, and then you do your yitzika, and finally, now the kohen is going to do his kmitza. So therefore, both Rebbe and the Chachamim agreed to all the three installments of shemen. The only question is, what was the sequence? Did you do your belila with shemen and the yitzika prior to putting it into the machvas and marcheshes? Or did you do that only after it was taken out as a final product from the machvas and marcheshes, then you go and make it psisa, you go and make it into crumbs, now you add your oil, second installment, and do a nice belila, and then you do your yitzika at the end. So going back to that Rashi that we learned quickly, v'chalas boilalon, again the Rashi on the bottom, v'chalas boilalon, l'minchas machvas u'marcheshes, kishehin chalois afuyois. Once they're ready baked, the term baked really is being used in a somewhat casual manner, because machvas marcheshes, strictly speaking, are not baked in a tanur, but they are more like prepared in a frying pan or in a pot. But nevertheless, that's what Rashi means, kishin chalas afuyais. Only after that, boilalon. But how could you go and be boilal shemen when you have the ready-made chalas, when you have your chalas afuyais, you have your 10 loaves? What do you do now? Oh, shechayzru poizison. First you have to do the psisa, and then nois and shemen, the boilin, and now you put in the extra shemen for the belila, and subsequent to that you put in your shemen for the yitzika. Okay, we're going to repeat this again when we get to the Gemara, but basically that's the machloikis here between Rebbe and the Chachamim, what is the order of the second and the third shemens. So now getting to our Gemara. Chalas boilan, third line from the top of Ayin Hey Amud Aleph. Chalas boilan, Dibri Rebbe Chum Oimrim Soilis Tana Rabban Soilis Belula. Now the Gemara is quoting from the pasuk. The pasuk is Aleph of the Torah Or Hashalem, the mincha al hamachvas korbanecha. We're talking about a minchas machvas. Soiles belula vashemen matzah sihiyah. You go and take soiles belula vashemen. Now notice we're not talking about a minchas soiles. We're talking about a minchas machvas. But nevertheless, the pasuk says soiles belula vashemen. Oh, that certainly sounds like the chachamim of our Mishnah that said that the belila takes place at the soiles stage, meaning early on in the process. Malamid, soiles belula malamid shenevleles soiles. Sounds like an eisen arayah. Rabbi oimen ochalas boy lunch. In Amor, it says in the pasuk chalois belulais. Now, where does it say chalois belulais? You know, it doesn't say chalois belulais by the minchas machvas. It does say, however, chalois belulais by the mincha ma'afei tanur. And if you go therefore to the second pasuk quote in the Torah Or Hashalem, v'chisakrif karben mincha ma'afei tanur soiles chalois matzois belulais bashemen. Oh, here it says that there are, in fact, belulis b'shemen, but it's at the chalis stage. It's that, like the pasuk says, chalis matzah belulis b'shemen. And so therefore, says Rebbe, you don't go and add the shemen to the soles, you add the shemen to the chalis after they are already, in the case of mafei taner, after they're already baked, and the marcheshes and the machvas, after they are prepared, and they are a completed minchas machvas and minchas marcheshes. Only thing is, how do you go and mix it at that time when you already have whole loaves? So that's what Rashi told us. First you do the psisa, crumble it up, make it into a form of like a matzah meal, and now you can go and add your shemen first for the belila, and then subsequently you add your shemen for the yitzika. Just as a side note, as we'll see on the bottom of the omid, that you add a third installment of shemen, which is yitzika, is only by the soiles machvas and marcheshes, but not by the ma'afei tanur. There you only have two nesina shemen, your initial shemen inside the kli, and then your shemen of the belila, but not the final shemen of the yitzika. But we'll see that on the bottom in Mi'at Hashem when we get to it. So in fact, yes?
All the ten chalois, he makes it into matzah meal, or only one from which he will take
I believe the answer is, I cannot tell you for sure, but I believe all of them. You go and take all of them and you make them into, you crumble them. And then from that, you take the kmitza.
Can you hire?
There seems to be some additional questions or points. So
is this a one-man operation, like doing all this to the 10 loaves, or could you get outside help? Or
You can get multiple employees. At this point, it does not have the full kedusha yet. It'll only have it because, when I say the full kedusha, when does a kohen have to get involved? Starting from the hagosha and kemitza stage. However, in terms of the actual cooking it in the machvas and the marcheshes, that can be done by anyone. You don't need a kohen. The kohen is only by the kemitza, as well as the hagosha that you have to put it on the southwestern corner. But anyway,
the belulas, I was talking about mafei tanur, and the solus is actually by the machvas. I was ready to jump and say that the by the machvas and machvas, where the chachamim are saying that's the actual source by machvas, so you do it in the lisha stage.
Very good. The Rashi that we quoted before on the bottom only made reference to Minchas, Machvas, and Marcheshes. The Rashi on the top, if you go to back to Ayin Dalet Amud Beis, when I say the Rashi on the top, in other words, not the Rashi Ksav Yad, but the other Rashi, notice in the first wide line down below, in other words, about eight lines before the Rashi Ksav Yad begins, first wide line, he's explaining the Mishnah, Chalois Shel, Minchas mafe, b'shul machvas, u'marcheshes. Boilen b'shemen li'achar shenasu chalois. Li'achrafia, divrei Rebbe. So you see that Rebbe is referring to all three. Why the Rashi Ksav Yad left out the mafe taner, I don't know, but probably he felt that it has the same din, so it was not necessary to enumerate all of them. But it's this halacha is referring not only to the machvas and marcheshes, but also the mafe taner, that all three are in the same boat, so to speak, or at least in the same Mizrak, that each one of them, when do you do the Belila according to Rebbe? Not when it's Soles, but only after it already becomes full-blown Chalos. Chalos, either because they were baked in the Mafi Taner, or because they were processed in the Machvas and the Marcheshes, and they're now 10 loaves respectively. So, getting back to Ag...
Yeah. Okay. What did Rav Papa say
Which Rav Papa are you referring to?
Right after the Gemara, the first comment of the Gemara after the Mishnah. What was he
was referring to the first line of the Mishnah. Kol ha-menoches ha-nasis b'kli. Sorry?
No, nothing.
Okay. Yeah. We're going back yesterday's Gemara. Yesterday's Gemara we had starts off the Mishnah Kol ha-menoches ha-nasis b'kli t'unos shloish matonos. All of those that are made in a kli, said Rashi about that, both Rashis, that we're talking about Machvas and Marcheshes, to the exclusion of the Mafei Taner, which is not prepared in a kli and doesn't get the kedusha from a kli sharis. Why? Because it becomes processed. The minchas, machvas, and marcheshes are made in a machvas and marcheshes respectively, which are kli sharis. The case of the mafei taner, you don't put it into a machvas or marcheshes, you put it into the taner. And Rashi says that according to our Mishnah, the taner is not mikadesh, because it does not have the status of a kli sharis. So it's no different than a taner that you have at home, so to speak. And so therefore, that's how it's why the Mishnah refers to it as kol menoches ha-nasis b'kli, as opposed to a taner. What is it then? They have the three matones. So what does that mean? Explains Rashi, because only the machvas and marcheshes have all three nesinois shemen. Shloisha matonoi shemen, which includes number three, yitzika. Mafei Taner does not have yitzika, it only has that initial nesina shemen dekli, followed up by the belila, but it does not have that ultimate third one called the yitzika. If you want to take a look at the Rashi and the Mishnah, let's see.
So the reason I'm asking this is I'm trying to figure out how this all fits into what we're saying about Mafei Taner.
The Mafei Taner had the same sequence as the other two for purposes of this machloikis between Rebbe and the Chachamim, where according to the Chachamim, all of the Nesinois Matonoi Shemen took place when it was still in its soulless stage. After you did, let's take the regular Minchas Soulless. That's the easy one. You put the Nesina Shemen inside the Kli, you add the flour, you add warm water, you start your dough, you add now installment number two of the shemen, and that is called the belila, because now you mix it thoroughly with that shemen. And now when you're done, and it looks like a beautiful, wonderful dough, you do your final yitzika shemen on top of it. After this, it is now ready to go and be processed further, according to the Chacham. What would you process further? Either into the machvas, or into the macheshes, or into the Tana, except with one exception. And what is that one exception? That instead of having three Nesinoi Shemen by the Mafei Taner, you only have two by the Minchas Soilus, the Minchas Machvas, Minchas Marcheshes. You have three Nesinoi Shemen. After you finish your Belila, you do one final Yitzik of Yitzak Aleha Shemen. But only by those three, and not by the case of the Minchas Mafei Taner. And therefore, when the Mishnah started off, Kol ha-menoches ha-nasis b'kli t'unos shloish matonoi shemen, why does it say ha-nasis b'kli? Let it just say Kol ha-menoches t'unos shloish matonoi shemen. That's what the Gemara said, L'mutei mai omer ha-papa, L'mutei minchas mafei. Mafei Taner did not have that third nesina of the Yitzika. Good.
Yes, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Usually called an asuya, it's inclusive. Here is a miut.
Well, the miut is not from the kol. The miut is from hanasis bekli. Why didn't it just simply say kolam anoches to unai shloishemat onai shemen? The nasis bekli is what's bothering the Gemara. If you look at the Rashi Ksavya down below, hanasis bekli lemutein mai. Why did we add those two words? Lamutim in Ches Mafei, says Rashi, to betaner nefois tchila, um yitzika mamayit lo. Can the farish to come on? There's no yitzika by the Mafei Tanur. Why not? We'll see in the Mar, because it says, v'yotzak oleha shaman, oleha v'loi al minchas mafei tanur. That we're going to see on the bottom of the Omer Aleph in Yetzushan. So getting back to the Braisa. Tanur Rabbanan Soilis Belula, Malamed She Nevulele Soilis. That is the word Soilis, which appears in the Minchas Machvas. But Hu Hadin, according to the Rabbanan, this applies to Machvas, Marcheshes, Mafei Tanur. All across the board, the Belila takes place at the Soilis stage, not post baking or processing in the Machvas or the Marcheshes. Rabbi, I mean, no, chalas boiling. You wait until they are already formed into chalois, meaning, in the case of the Mafei Taner, a baked product. In the case of the Marcheshes and the Machvas, whatever comes out of the Machvas, something similar probably to a pancake, and by the Marcheshes, probably something similar to knedel. Only post that do we have the belila of the sherry. So Rabbi Oy Mechalis, Boilin Shnei Mechalis Belulais. Omer Loi, so the Chachamim said now to Rabbi, that's impossible. Vale lach me toida nermar behen chalois. By the lach me toida, as you know, you have also the four different types of lach me toida. And by one of the species, it says, in Pasi Gimel, imal toida yakrivenu, vehikrav azevacha toida, chalois matzois belulais bashemen. Oh, there it says, chalois belulois. Zokting mar v'yefshel avoylan kishehin chalois. It's impossible to do the belila when they are already chalois, like you are suggesting, Rebbe, and therefore, elas soilis. Now, why are the lachmei toida so special that the Gemara says, yefshel avoylan? Why not? Do whatever you would normally do to be boil. The Gemara is going to discuss this further, another six or seven lines. Please hold your questions until then, and then you can ask further. So continuing the Gemara, Ella zoktach the Tanakama, the Chachamim of our Mishnah, it's soilis. And now what we said so far, Baal Peh, the Gemara is now going to say it, the Chsaf. Kezer Oyser, this is the Chachamim speaking. How do you do the three Nesinois Hashemim? We start off, Nois in Shemen Bikli, Koidim Las Yosem. That's number one. Put the shemen in even before you put in the mincha. And now v'noisna. V'noisna is referring to you take the flour of the mincha, put it into the kli. Shemen first, v'noisna. Now you put in the solas. V'nois in shemen aleha. The Gemara leaves out what Rashi spoke about before, that you put in the mayan posherim, so now you can start off your dough. V'nois in shemen aleha, and now you put the second installment of the shemen, Uboila, and now mix it thoroughly. Velasha, and knead it. Vioifa, and bake it. What happened with the fact that I have to go and put my third shemen? Upoisisa, now make it into pesisos, meaning make it into crumbs. Venoisan alea shemen, and now do your third shemen, right? We already did two shemens previously. Now we do the third one, and that's the yitzika, the koimitz, and now that you do your kmitza. Okay, there's one exception to this, which we already pointed out in the Mishnah with Rapapa and Brother Shai. This applies to the Minchas Marcheshes and the Minchas Machvas, but it doesn't apply to the Mafei Taner, because by the Mafei Taner we don't put a third time Shemen. We only have the Tushmanim, Koidim La'asiyosam, and Bishas Tevila, but not after the Psisa. You don't add any Shemen at that point, you just do your Kmitza. Why is Mafei Taner different? We'll have on the bottom of the Yomud, because of a pasuk that v'yotzak aleha shomen, the Gemara is going to dash him v'yotzak aleha, only on the Machvas and the Marcheshes, but not on the Mafei Taner. We'll get to that in Mitzvah shortly. So as you see from the description that we've just gone through at the Ketzat Oiseh, that all of the Shmanim took place when it was still soulless, with the exception of the Yitzika all the way at the end. But the Bila and the Shemen, that took place when it was still soulless, and then your Oifa, and then your Poisisa, and you add your final installment of the Shemen then. Well, Rabbi Oimer, Chalas Boilan. Shenemar, like we said before, Chalis Blue this by Shaman, Ketzad Oiser. It sounds very similar. However, you'll see the major difference. Noisin Shemin Mekli Koidim Lasi Yasa. Everybody agrees, first you put in your Nasina Shemin, that's number one. Venoisna, and now put in your flour. And Velosha, add your warm water. Go Velosha, and now do your Lisha, your kneading. What about that second Shemin that I'm supposed to do Belila with? No, not yet, says Rebbe. Hold your horses, hold on to that second installment of Shemin. But rather, oife, bake it, in the case of the mafik taner, or the machvas, or the marcheshes, prepare it in the pan or in the pot, and now it came out, let it dry up a little bit, upoisisa, and now go and do your psisa, crumble it up, and noisen aleo shemen, now uboilila, now you do your second nesina shemen, lila, and now, v'choyfe noisen aleo shemen, now you do your final yitzika, again, not by the Mafei Taner, but only by the Machvas and Marcheshes. The Koyimitza, now you do your Kemitza. So as you see, the Brice is very, very clear that the difference between Rebbe and the Chachamim is only in installment number two. Do you do that when it was still soilless and make it into a nice, fluffy type of Issa dough, because you've added the Shemen prior to the Afia? Or no, do you only add the Shemen post-Afia? You can't put shemen on fertig chalas when the chalas is already done. So you have to do your psisa, make it, crumble it up, and then you add to it your shemen. Now, we said a moment ago, when the Chachamim were trying to defeat Rebbe, they said, don't forget about the chalas of the chalas toida, where it's e'efshir levoilulon kishahin chalas. So it must be soilus. Freit timor e'efshir dekamile rabbanan le'rebbe mahi. What is the e'efshir? Amrib Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchok, Rav Yishemen hi, heich mischalekes lekama chalois. You're only talking about a small Rav Yishemen. What does he want to mean with that? So when you're bringing the chalas toida, remember we have the four different types of chalas toida, one of which happens to be the chametz, and the other three which happen to be the matzah. Now, the combination of all of them, in the Torah, it comes out, we're going to learn a Mechem the Gemara in another few days, that in terms of the amount of soles, in terms of the amount of flour, it's 20 esroinim altogether, 10 esroinim for the 10 chalois, which are chametz, and the other 10 esroinim for the other three types, which are the three types of matzah. What happens as a result is that the 10 chalois of chametz, each one is a full isarai. 10 times 1, 10 esroinim, those are the chalos chomet. In terms of the 30 chalos, which are the matzos chalos, I know the word chalos and matzos coming together sounds a little bit like an oxymoron, but the Torah itself uses that expression. Chalos matzos belulois b'shem. So the 30 chalos of the other three types, now what are the other three types? You have revucha, and you have chalois, and you have rekikin. Those three are all matzahs on the matzah side. Now, because they're all matzahs, the Gemara is going to tell us later on, they share in the 10 esrayim. So that instead of each one of the chalois matzahs being a full esrayim, each one of them is only a third of an esrayim, a third of esrayim. And therefore, when you have 30 together, 30 times a third, then you get 10 esroinim altogether. So if you're looking in terms of each one of the three different types, let's just take the marshal, the rekikin. So those rekikin, you're going to have 3 1/3 esroinim, as opposed to altogether. All 10 of the rekikin will have 3 1/3 esroinim. So we have focused entirely on the flour. Now let's get to the other side of the equation. Now we're going to talk about the shemen. As far as the shemen is concerned, you start off with a loik shemen for the whole kitten kaboodle. And therefore, from that loik shemen, we're first going to split it in half and give half of the shemen at a chutzi loik, and that we're going to go and use for the chometz. So how much do we have left? We have now another half a loik for all of the matzahs. However, we don't split it up evenly, one third for the blue lois, for the chalos, and for a third for the rekikos, and a third for the meshuchos, but instead, we have to go and split it up differently. Now, how do we go and split it up differently? What they do is, let's see which one is the easier one, the Rashi on top or the Rashi Ksavyad on the bottom. The Rashi Ksavyad on the bottom is a little bit more succinct, so I think it'll be easier to follow. If you look at the Rashi, the third line of Rashi Ksavyad down below, Rashi Ksavyad, Revius Shemen Hi, Damrin Meperek Shtei Bidois, we're going to have in a later Perek, Mevi Chatzi Loig Shemen, you bring a half a Loig for the Matzois part, because half of the Loig I've already used for the Chometz part, now we're talking about the Matzois part, the Chotzeu, and now you divide that in half, Chetzioi Lechalois, those are the Chalois Matzois, Urekikin, for the Chalis and Rekikin, v'chetzio l'revucha, and the other half is revucha. People say that revucha is similar to making bagels. So you put it in deep fry of shemen, and then you make bagels out of it. Whatever. Anyway, so you don't divide up this other chatzi loig three ways. One third for the Chalis, one third for the Rekikin, one third for the revucha, but rather you go and split it in two, and you give half of it to the chalois, and half of it to the chalois urikikin, and half of it to the revucha. Okay. So balachmei toida havishloisha minim shel matzah, like we said before, you have three separate minim, chalois urikikin urevucha, can read the kamban. The chatzi haloik is halocha lemoishmi sinai, in terms of the amount and how we split it up. The chalois urikikin, the two out of the three, put revucha on the side for a moment, and we're just going to talk about the chalas rekikin. Those are two-thirds of the 10 esrainim. Two-thirds of 10 esrainim is 6 2/3, right? It's 3 1/3 per each type. Multiply 3 1/3 by 2 is 6 2/3. Says Rashi, it's shiva esrainim pochoi shlishav. That's 7 -1/3, which is 6 2/3. Well, achar afiyosin, once they have been baked, and here we're talking about, again, the lachmi toida. Once you've prepared them, yeveshoi sein, dry them out, uboiloi shemen yoiser machma se'ur, or via shemen leisaf kiluhu. What's happening now is, once I have prepared these two different types, the chalois and the rekikin, they are now 6 2/3 esrainim, I'm going to add to it, if like Rebbe, that holds that you only add the shemen post-baking, not when it was still soles, so I'm now going to take 6 2/3 esrainim of chalois, and then I'm going to mix in with it a revius haloig. Why is it a revius haloig? Because I started off with a full loig, half a loig I gave to the chometz, half the loig I gave to the matzis, and in the half a loig of the matzis, I took off half for the revucha, the other half for the chalis and rekikin, so I'm down to a quarter of a loig. So a quarter of a loig I'm supposed to use now for 6 2/3 esrainim. So now...
A lot of flour for very little oil.
Oh, so now just to give you... What you're saying is correct, but to exemplify it, to dramatize it, think of your regular carbon mincha. Regular carbon mincha is one esrain, and one loig, one full loig of shemen. One isorin, one loig of shemen. Here we're talking about 6 2/3 esroinim. We're multiplying the isorin 6 2/3. So we should be multiplying our loig shemen by 6 2/3. Instead, we're taking a quarter of that loig shemen to go and add to the 6 2/3 esroinim. The ratio and the proportions are... Really, it's almost maddening. How am I going to possibly take such a small little amount of such a small volume of shemen and use that for a belila for the two different types of the chalis and rekikin? Therefore, that's why the Chachamim said, that's impossible. You have to agree with me that when we're talking about the lachmei toida, where the toida uses the same expression in terms of these are chalis and rekikin, and how could it be that after they are ready chalois, and after you do your psisim, and you're going to go and add shemen. So you're going to tell me, how is it any different when I'm adding the shemen to the original silas? Same amount of flour. Here I have matzah meal, and there I had the original flour. Says Rashi, because after the baking, they become yovesh, they become so dried out, so then they need much more saturation. Just like a person who has just eaten or drunk doesn't need to drink so much, but if the person has been going through the desert for the last 3 days, he's got to drink a lot to go and take a while, take his terrible thirst. So here too, these two different types of chalos are so thirsty, you're going to go and give them this paltry amount of shemen after psisa, it's not going to work. And that's the expression back in the Gemara. So, EF shenochmal, let's go back to those four lines. EF shetakam le rabbanu le rabbi mahi, what do they mean? I'm Rabbi Shmuel Barab Yitzchak, the revius shemen he, that small amount of revius shemen, heich mischalekes, how are we going to go and divide it up and satisfy so many chalos, 20 chalos altogether, which are all a combination of 6 2/3 Israelim? You have to pull out your hair to be able to go and do a proper belila. That's why the belila must be at the solar stage and not at the psisim and the chalois and rakikin stage. Our Gemara doesn't record it.
Why are we saying that the chalois and rakikin of the Todah are the same as that by a korban mincha?
That's going to be the next Shikra Gemara. Your point that you're making is an excellent point, and that's going to be the next Shikra Gemara, as we'll see momentarily. And it doesn't say here in the Gemara, but the Tosis and other Rishonim say that eventually Rebbe caved and said to the Rabbanan, you're right, you have to do it b'shas soilis and not b'shas chalois, but that's not documented in the Gemara. Getting back to the Gemara, achalis to unais belila or akikim mishicha. Now this is the next part of the Mishnah, and now we're no longer talking about machves and marcheshes, we're only talking strictly about the minchas ma'afei tanur. Now what does it say about the minchas ma'afei tanur? If you want to look at Ois Beis of the Torah or HaSholem, V'chisakrev korben mincha ma'afei tanur, soiles chaleis matzeis blulis b'shemen, or akike matzeis meshuchem b'shemen. And you'll recall we've already had a number of times the machloikis between the Chachomim and Reb Shimon, where the Chachomim hold that if you say, Hare Olai, I'm being menader a minchas ma'afei tanur, you have two choices. You can either bring the chalis matzais belulais b'shemen, or rekike matzais meshuchem b'shemen. You'll recall that Reb Shimon respectfully disagrees and says that you can bring either or, and you can bring a third, which would mean half chalis and half rekike. Very fine. What is the process now with these chalis? In the case of the chalis, they're t'unais belila, like the pasuk says, chalis belulais b'shemen. But you're talking about the rekikin, you don't need belila, all you use is your solas and your water, and when you've baked these rekikin, you meshuchen b'shemen, you smear them with shemen on top. So instead of adding the shemen to the batter, I mean, you always have the nesina shemen in the kli at the outset, unless you're dealing with a minchas choyte or minchas kenois where there's no shemen at all. But when you do have shemen, here you have shemen inside the kli, you put inside the flour, you don't do the belila now, because it's only by the chalais, belulais by shemen, but by the rekikin, you go and bake it into your rekikin, something similar probably to our matzais, because rekikin are wafers, and then you moishich on the top, you smear it with shemen. How do you smear it? You remember the Mishnah said, k'min ki. We're going to talk about that, the chof yivanis, we'll talk about that a little bit later in the Gemara. But at this point, says the Gemara, Tanur Rabban, chalais belulais v'loi rekikin belulin. When it says in the pasuk chalais belulais, only the chalais are bolo, not the rekikin. By rekikin, you don't mix in the shemen and make a ganze batter with the shemen. No belulin. Shiyocha, because I would have thought, v'alidinu, I'm going to make a kal v'choymen. Umad the chalais, she'enon te'unois mishicha. This pasuk that we just quoted, the mishicha was only on the rekikin. The chalis, it doesn't require mishicha, but it's t'unais belila. It does require belila. Rekikin, which are more chomer, sh'tu'unan mishicha, that they do require the shmirin, and then sh'tu'unan belila, they should have to have both the mishicha and the belila. Tam Elohim, that's why the pasuk says, chalis belulais, only the chalis are belulais. V'loi rekikin belulin. What is the raya from the fact that it says chalis belulais, that only chalis and not the rekikin? The Gemara is going to address that in another few lines. Stay tuned. And we start again. Rekikin meshuchin. Pasuk says, rekikin meshuchin meshamin, v'loi chalis meshuchais. But when you complete baking your chalis, do not be moishach them, don't go and smear them with the oil. Shiochel, I would have made a kal v'chaymer. The kal v'chaymer is the same as before, but in reverse. V'alidinu. Madach rekikin she'enon t'unin belila. Rekikin don't require belila. But t'unin meshicha, chalis t'unais belila, in addition to unas meshicha, I would think that chalis, in addition to the belila, you have to do a meshicha b'shemen at the end. Just like you do meshicha on the rekikin. Maybe you should do a meshicha also on the chalis, tamaloymer. Nay, rekikin meshuchen, v'loi chalis meshuchais. Only by the rekikin, not by the chalis. And the Gemara asks now, my Talmudah, what is your limud? I agree with you. It says in the Pasuk, the Lashon of Chalois Belulois, and it says Rekikin Meshuchin. You're 100% right. But where does it say only Belulois by the Chalois? And where does it say only Meshicha by Rekikin? Maybe you should learn one from the other, like we have Kala Torah Kula, and you have a Kal V'Chaymer. Madach the Chalois require Belulois, it should certainly require the Meshicha. And Madach the Rekikin require Meshicha, they should certainly require the Belulois. In other words, learn one from the other. Zokti Yimara Amarava Lelishtameit Velichtev Chalis Meshuchais Rekikin Belulin. When you look through the Torah, any time that they list the Chalis and the Rekikin, it always says Chalis Belulais B'Shemen Rekikin Meshuchais B'Shemen. Now you're saying, where is this Lelishtameit Velichtev? How many times did the Torah address this? Torah addresses it on a whole bunch of occasions. And this is the response to our good friend Barry's question, why are we learning from the Torah to the Ma'afeitan? And the answer is because the Torah refers to Chalis Belulois and Rekikin Meshuchin in four different places. Where's the four different places? The first one is in Shemois Choftes. If you have a Chumash with you, is great. If not, I'll be happy just to read it out to you. You don't have to look inside. I'm sure Barry's going to want to grab a chumish, kedarka, and bakoidish, but that's up to you. You already have one, even better.
I'm already there.
Pasuk Beis. What does it say? We're talking now about the miluim stage and being mekadish the kehanim to be able to do the avoida in Pasuk Aleph. V'zeh hadavar shetaseh lehem lekadish oisam lechahin li. We want to now inaugurate and coronate the kehanim to do the avoida. So they have to take a parechad, elim shnayim. Next pasuk, v'lechem matzois, v'chalois matzois, belulois b'shemen, urekike matzois meshuchen b'shomen. Oh, so we're talking about chalois matzois, belulois. Rekikim meshuchen. That's time number one that we find it in the Torah. Where's the next time that we find it in the Torah? We now turn to Vayikra. And we first go to last week's parasha, Parshas Vayikra. And we're going to go to, in fact, the Pasuk of the Ma'afei Taner, which we've quoted already a few times, which we had in the Torah Or HaShalem. If you go to Perek Beis, and you look at Pasuk Dalit, what does it say in the Pasuk? V'chi sakriv korban mincha Ma'afei Taner, soydes chalois matzeis belulois b'shemen, oh, chalois belulois, rekike matzeis mishuchem b'shemen, oh, again, rekike matzeis. Now, the third time is in this week's parsha, Parshas Tzav. We have this in Perek Zayin, Pasuk Yud Beis. And now we're talking about the Korban Toida. Im al Toida yakrivenu, v'hikrav al zebach ha Toida, chalois matzeis belulois b'ashemen, rekike matzeis mishuchen b'ashemen. Oh, you have your chalois belulois, and you have your rekiken mishuchen. And then, of course, you have the next two species, the next two types, the soyos morbeches. And then you have the al-chalis lechem chometz yakrav kabanai. Don't forget about the chometz. But once again, chalis belulois and rekikin meshuchim. That is number three and number four. And there's one final one in Bamidbar. Now we're talking about the El Nozir in Parshas Nosai. Bamidbar Perik Vav, Pasik Tezvav. Where's Perik Vav, Pasik Tezvav? Yeah, it's talking about the Nozir. The Nozer has to bring his korbanos, as you know, But in addition to his ayil nazir, he has to go and bring various breads or chalais. Not really bread, because it's called matzis. But anyway, which pasuk is this? It's vav tesvav. Yeah. Where's that vav tesvav? Oh, it says pasuk tesvav. In addition to bringing your kevis and your kavsa and your ayil, v'sal matzis, soilis chalois belulois bashemen. Chalois belulois. Rekikim matzis mishuchim bashemen. Rekikim mishuchim. So you have each one of these are all separate cases. You're talking about the inauguration of the Levium. You're talking about the Mafetanim and the Kahanim and Levium. 24 places we call Levium, we call Kahanim. Anyway, the Nochamul, and we have, of course, the case of the Mafetaner. We have the Toida. We have the El Nozer. Every time the Toida refers to Chalois, it's always Chalois, but Lulois. And every time it refers to Rekikin, it's always Rekikin Meshuchim. And so therefore, what the Gemara is saying is, it's not only the Chalis Belulois, which appears here in Mafetana, and the Rekikin Meshuchim. That's the definition of the Chalis for all purposes in the Torah. Whether it's the inauguration of Kahanim and Levim, whether it's in the times of the Nozer, whether you're talking about Mafetana, whether you're talking about Toida, Chalis are always, it's as if the two words are hyphenated. It's Chalis Belulois, and Rekik and Meshuchim, and never the twain shall meet. That's why the Kalis do not require Meshicha, and the Rekikin do not require Melina. Continuing on, what do you do with the Rekikin that you're Moshech? Keitz and Moshechim, Kiminki, Vashar Necha. My Kiminki, what is that? Kiminki, Omer Rav Kahana, Kiminki Yevani. Other Gersois are Kof Yevanis, and then you have Chof of the word Kof, and the word Yevani, the Yud, and that gets you the key together. That's the key to understanding it, Shelley. That you have Rosh Tevis, Kof Yevanis. What exactly does that look like? So you remember we already had yesterday in the Rashi Ksav Yad, it looks like a U, the distance between your Agudel and the second finger. Spread it, and it looks like a U. Rashi said it looks like a Tes, which is similar. And then you had the Rashi on top that says it looks like a Chof Sofis, or something similar to an L, upside down. Or finally, the Rambam has that it was in the form of an X. So it's a machloik is exactly what the Ois Ki Yevonis is referring to. Okay. Tan Rabban, Mincha Habo Mechze Chalos and Mechze Rekikin. Now, this is obviously going according to Reb Shimon, because according to us, there is no such thing as bringing Mechze Chalos, Mechze Rekikin. But according to Reb Shimon, you're bringing a Mafei Taner, five Chalos, blue lois, five Rekikin, Mishuch. What do you do? Maybe loik shemen v'choytzeil. You go and take your loik shemen. Every mincha requires one loik. What do? You split it down the middle. Chetzir l'chalis, chetzir l'kikin. Now, what happens is, v'chalis boilan. Since you're doing it as part of the dough that you are mixing it, so that's very simple. You do bila. You're not going to have any extra shemen. Whatever shemen you have, you pour into the chalis and you mix and you mix and you mix. Rekikin, however, since you're only doing Meshicha means to go and make that ois, whether it's your X, your U, your L, or whatever, you don't need all of the shaman for that. So that being the case, Umoshech es harekik al pnei kulay, do on the entire rakik, go and do your shmering, the shara shaman, whatever you left over with, machzir l'chalois, you go and give it to your colleague the chalois. This is only according to Reb Shimon, that you're bringing both Chalis and Rekikin together. I don't need so much Shemen for the Rekikin. Pour over whatever you got left, pour into the Chalis, and the Chalis are going to smile, and they're going to say thank you to the Rekikin for giving us this additional Shemen. Reb Shimon, Yehuda Mishum, Reb Shimon, Oimer, no, Moishchen Geminki, you do the Meshicha, you're right, we're going to have leftover Shemen, Bashar Shemen Nechal Kehanim, like whenever you have the Shiraim of Menachas go to the Kehanim, this Shemen will be an addition. They'll be able to use it Friday night for a dip, like the new minig in Klal Yisrael, that you have to have 20 dips on the table with your fish, or right after the fish, or whatever. Tani idach, I have another braisa, similar, but different. Rekikin haboin bifnei atzman. Oh, you're only bringing rekikin, meaning that your mafei taner, only rekikin without any chalois. This could go according to not only the Rabbanan, but Reb Shimon as well, because Reb Shimon allows you for three options. You can bring only Rekikin, only Chalis, or the mixed five and five. But you can bring Rekikin on its own. So now I'm bringing Rikikan on its own, and I'm bringing with it a loik shemen. Wow, this is a tremendous amount of shemen for these Rikikan. So moishchan, v'choizru moishchan, and choizru moishchan, and sheyichle kol shemen shebuloik. Just keep on doing your meshichais 5 times, 20 times, as many times as you need, until you used up all the shemen in the loik. Reb Shimon Yehuda and Mishim Reb Shimon. This is the same Reb Shimon as before. Reb Shimon Yehuda, Mishim Reb Shimon. Moishchan kiminki. V'shar HaShemen nechal l'kehanim. Give the rest of the shemen, whatever's left, to the kehanim. So in both cases, Reb Shimon, v'shem, Reb Shimon Yehuda, v'shem, Reb Shimon is saying the same thing, that the rikikin, just do your one simple meshicha, you have extra shemen left, give it to the kehanim to go and eat. As opposed to the Tanakama, if you have the accompanying other chalos, then you can always put it into the chalos. Chalos could always use some more shemen. However, if you're just bringing it on its own, what do? Just keep on pouring it on, not pouring, but smearing and smearing and smearing until you finish smearing after 5 or 10 times you smeared. Okay, on to the next Mishnah. We've touched on the inyan of psisa, of crumbling, and now we're going to get into it in much greater detail in this Mishnah and the Mishnah on the Amud Beis. Zok the Mishnah. Kol ha-menachis ha-nasis b'kli t'unois p'sisa. Any menachis which are made in a kli, you have to do p'sisa. And now everybody's going to ask, what means ha-nasis b'kli? So the previous Mishnah, Omra Papa Nasis b'kli, that was Lemute the Ma'afei Tanur, where there you did not have 3 nesinoi shemen, you only had 2 matonoi shemen, because you didn't do yitzika. Here, we're not talking about that. We're talking about psisa, crumbling it up. Now, I was always under the impression that the purpose of crumbling is really mechanics. Because since the kehanim have to go and do kmitza, you can't go and do kmitza from a whole loaf. So what you have to do is you got to go and crumble it up. Our Gemara here in the Amud Aleph and the Amud Beis are going to tell you, no, that's not necessary. It's true. It's going to help you in psisa. But even where you didn't need to make a kmitza, nevertheless, the Torah requires you in certain cases to do a psisa. What does that mean? Let's see the Gemara. Lemutei mai, what is this? Kol ha-menachas ha-nasis b'kli, come to exclude. It doesn't come to exclude mafei taner, because mafei taner, you also have to do psisa. But rather, omra papa, lemutei shtei ha-lechem v'lechem ha-ponim. To shtei ha-lechem lechem ha-ponim, where there is no kmitza involved. I might think maybe it's exeris akosav, you have to crumble it like you crumble all other menachas. No, don't crumble it. Rather, as you know, shtei alechem alechem upanim are eaten by the kehanim, and what you do is, at the end of the day, whenever they're divvying up the karbonis, give every kohen in that mishma that's working, go and give them a piece of shtei alechem when you're talking about on Shavuos, and a piece of lechem upanim when you're talking about on Shabbos. I know Barry's thinking to himself, for lechem upon him on Shabbos, you don't just give all the kehanim in the Mishmah, you have to go and split it up between the Mishmah and Nicholas, Mishmah and Yotze, Havad. 7 and 5, 5 and 7. Yes, yes. Anybody, Shelly, you have a comment?
Yeah, with the crumbling, you end up with a peace offering.
Ah, because you have pieces. Very good. Ah, that was
no,
such.
That's the Shlomo.
So the lechem upon him and the lechem. They don't require kmitza
because we're not putting any part on the mizbeach, and they do not require psisa. You don't have to crumble them whenever these are divided up among the kahanim. You're going to go and cut it nicely with a knife or break it with your hands or whatever, and then you're going to hand it out, but you don't crumble it. Tana Rabbana, Shtei Nebraisa, Pasos Oisa Pita. Now, where does this Pasos appear? This is now number 4 here on your Torah Arav Shalom. Pasos Oisa Pita, Yitzakta Lea Shomen, Mincha Hi. Now, this Pasos, I believe, is in the Pasos Legabe, the Karban Machvas, and it says about the Machvas and the Marcheshes that you have to do the Sisa. Now, at the end of the Pasos, it says, Mincha Hi. So, we skip the middle words for a moment. Pasos Oisa Pita, Mincha hi. What do I learn from this? Mincha l'rabis kol ha-menachas l'psisa. Oh, all menachas have to have psisa. Pasos oisa, not only by the machvas, but all the machvas, by the fact that the pasuk ends off mincha. This parashah is talking about the mincha al ha-machvas korbanecha. What do we have to say? Mincha hi. Of course we're talking about a mincha. We're not talking about an oiler. We're not talking about davening marev. We're talking about mincha. So why do you have to repeat the mincha? To go and tell you, all the menachos require psisa. Ooh, if that's the case, yachashin imar, be'afshtei alechem alechem upon him. Maybe they also have to have psisa, even though you don't need kmitza, and you don't put it on the mizbeach. But maybe that's a zgerus, a cost of you always have to have psisa. Tamaloymer oisa. That's why it says pasois oisa pitim. Only your menachos from which you're going to do your kmitza, not your shtei alechem, not your lechem upon him. There you don't have to do any psisa. That's oisa. But now continuing the pasuk. Pasis oisa pitam v'yotzakta oleha shemen minchahi v'yotzakta shemen mincha l'rabis kol ha-menoches li'yitzika. All menoches require yitzika, meaning that third installment of oil besides the initial nesina shemen v'kli, and then the belila, then you also have your third one, that's the yitzika. Ooh, yochosh nimar ba'af minchas mafe. I would think the mafe taner has the same din. Tamaloymer oleha. That's why it says v'yotzakta aleha shaman. Oitz, and therefore that aleha shaman comes to exclude the mafe tanur. Now, we're going to continue on in this another moment, but now we understand what Brother Shai was asking at the outset, that on the Mishnah of yesterday, we said kol menachas anasis bekli tu'unoi shloi shematoni shaman, and Rapapa said lemute minchas mafe. Minchas mafe tanur only had the two, did not have three matonishem. Which one did we leave out? We left out the yitzika. Why? The yitzakta aleh hashamen comes to exclude the mafeitan. Now, remember the mafeitaner has two different varieties. We have the chalos and we have the rikikin. So maybe oitzis a chalos, only oitzis a rikikin. Maybe only the chalos you don't put the third shemen. But maybe you do the yitzika on the rikikin. Tamaloymer, he. It says, mincha, he. My talmuda. What is the limit over here? In other words, what we've benefited so far is we have two mi'utim. We have the mi'ut of Aleha, Yitzakta Aleha Shamen, and then we have Mincha Hi. Those two mi'utim, one is to Mimayit the Chalois, one is Mimayit the Rikikin. But the Frank Dimori, it's my Talmuda. What means my Talmuda? I agree with you that you have these two mi'utim. But who says it will be the Ma'at Mafitaner? Maybe Emel Hoitzim Minchas Koyhanim. When a Koyin goes and brings his own Mincha, which is Kolutiyah, maybe that's what we're saying. Don't do Yitzikas Hashemen on the Minchas Koyin. Amar Rabba, Ezeo Dovish Yitzorach Shnei Miyutim, Hevi Oymezu Minchas Ma'afe. Since we have two Miyutim, one of Aleha and one of He, why would we want to use two Miyutim to exclude a Minchas Koyin, which is just one variety of mincha? Rather, we talk about minchas mafei taner, which built in is two varieties. Chalos matzos mishuchem b'shemen, urkikin matzos, I'm sorry, bludos b'shemen, urkikin matzos mishuchem b'shemen. Therefore, since you have the two different varieties, it makes sense to have two separate mi'utim. You have the yitzakta aleh ha-shemen, and you have the mincha hi, one to exclude the chalos of the mafei taner, the other one to exclude the rikikim of the mafeitanur.
So, and the word is who? The word is who, not he. In the Torah, Sholem, or in the Chumash, it's mincha who.
You have that. You in my
Gemara. It's pronounced he, but it's a vav. It's spelled. It's not the pronunciation. It's the spelling.
Okay.
It's pronounced.
Do you have a chirik under the hay, or do you have a pintle in the vav?
Sorry.
Okay. It's okay, no problem. By uns chassidim, we always say he. It makes a difference who or he or he or who. It's always he. But you're right, it's spelled who, but the kri is he. On to the next Mishnah. We've already talked about crumbling and crumbling. Most of us think of crumbling, and I've mentioned the word matzah meal a number of times, and that's the way you normally think of crumbling, that you go and crumble it up until it becomes like matzah meal, and then it becomes very easy for kmitza. In fact, that pshat in psisa is the pshat that we're going to see later on in the Gemara of Tana Dvei Reb Yishmael. However, that's not how our Tanoim and our Mishnah learn. How our Tanoim learn? Zok the Mishnah. Minchas Yisrael. A mincha brought by a Yisrael as opposed to a Koyin. Koyfel Echa Lishnayim. Ushnayim Li Arba'a Umavdil. What does the word koifel mean? So the word koifel sounds like the word kefel, double. And in fact, if you look at the Rashi at the top, koifel in the second line, it's appropriate that it's on the second line because we're talking about doubling it. Koifel kemay koifel, like with a chav. That what? Chal achas lishtayim, ushtayim le'arba. You go and take your original loaf, you fold it into two, and then you fold it again into four, as we'll see in the Mishnah. So the word koifel, according to Rashi and Tab, is like the word kefel, koifel, that you fold it. However, if you look at the Rashi Ksavya down below, he says that the word koifel means meshaber. You break it. Regardless, how do you break it? You break it by folding it. As the Mishnah says, Minchas Yisrael, you koifel echad l'shnayim, ushnayim li'arba'a. Now, obviously, we're not talking about, for instance, when you're talking about matzahs. Remember, kol ha-menochis bois matzah, with the exception of the chalois of the toida that we spoke about a moment ago, the chalois chametz, as well as the shtei lechem. But otherwise, everything else is matzahs. You cannot go and fold your matzah into two and then fold it again into four. That doesn't work with our matzahs. It must be that in the times of Chazal, those matzahs were soft matzahs, and not the hard matzahs that we are accustomed to. Someone told me that, in fact, the Yemenite matzahs are also soft. Chvesnish, I've never seen or eaten a Yemenite matzah. I know that it's thicker than our regular matzahs, but I don't know that they're softer. Odiyo odinish. I'm sorry?
It looks like a lassa. It looks like a lassa, apparently, like a lassa.
Okay, fine. So we know that lassas and pitas are foldable, and that's what you do with these matzahs of the mincha, that you fold it once, and you fold it twice. Umavdil. Now what means umavdil? Says Rashi, mishabra hainu pesisa. When now it's folded up into four, now you have to go and break it. You cannot leave it in that form, folded up into four, because ultimately the coin is going to have to do a kemitza. So you're going to have to break it, I guess, at the folds, and now it's going to be four pieces, one on top of the other, as opposed to this doubled over pancake type of thing. So koifel echad l'shnayim, l'shnayim l'arba, v'ein amad. Now when you're talking about a minchas koyin, Mashiach, loy hoye mekapla. What's the koyin Mashiach? Remember, those are the chavitim. You didn't do any kefil. What's the reason why? Says Rashi, because there was no kmitza. Since there's no kmitza, therefore, loy hoye mekapla. Now, loy hoye mekapla sounds like just leave it as a flat matzah, or a flat lafa or pita. We're going to see, however, in the Gemara is going to say, no. We're going to bring a brisa that hoye mekapla, that in fact you did fold it over. What the Gemara is going to say is, the difference between the Kohen Mashiach and the Yisrael, is Yisrael, you double it over twice, echel l'shnayim, l'shnayim l'arba, and the Kohen Mashiach, hoye mekapla twice, he only did it once. You did it echel l'shnayim, but you didn't do l'shnayim l'arba. And remember, Rabbi Yisai, there was no kmitza by the Kohen Mashiach, it was kula kol on the mizbeach, but nevertheless, that is the mitzvah of psisa, that you go and fold it over at least once and make it into two. Koifel echad l'shnayim. We haven't gotten to Reb Shimon yet. What are you talking? I'm sorry. What would you like to say? You're talking about the minchas chote of a regular kohen hedget. Minchas chotev, a regular kohen that goes and brings his carbon, there's no kmitza, you put it directly on the mizbech. Minchas chotev, a kohen, we learn from the fact that here it says mincha, and there it says mincha, that it has the same din of a Yisrael's mincha, the gabi kmitza. And then after you do the kmitza, says Reb Shimon, you put it in two stages on the mizbech. First you put the kmitza on, then wait 10 seconds, and then you put the shirayim on. Remember, we also had a sheet according to Rashi yesterday, that not only was it a different timing, but also a different location. This you put on the maracha, and the other one you put on the base of deshin, which was on the back. But that is all talking about a kohen who's bringing a minchas chote. Here we're talking about a kohen Mashiach, which we're referring to is the minchas chavitin that was brought by the kohen gadol every single day. Machtzisa v'boika, machtzisa v'orev. No kmitza. The whole thing was put on the mizbeach. But you did do a 50% psisa. What's a 50%? That you weren't mekapalit twice, you were only mekapalit once. As we'll see in the Gemara shortly. Reb Shimon says, Minchas Kehanim and Minchas Kohen Mashiach, ein behen psisa. No psisa at all, and they shame ben kmitza. You don't do a kmitza by the Minchas Kehanim. Now we're talking about Minchas Kohen Nidava, because this is Reb Shimon, and like Brother Shai and I were just discussing a moment ago, the minchas choyte of a koyin, you do kmitza, and you put it on in two stages. But if you're talking about a minchas kehanim, which is a nedava, chol minchas koyin kol tia loisi ochel be'esh tisar, if you take the whole kit and caboodle and you put it on the mizbeach, just like the minchas koyin mashiach, the chavitin, put on the mizbeach, you don't need any psisa. Neshamein be'en kmitza. V'chol she'ein ben kmitza, ain't ben psisa. If you have no kmitza, you don't need psisa. And the raya would be like we had in the Omid Aleph, that you don't dishtei alechem, and the lechem upon him, there's no kmitza, no psisa. Done, fine, gewaldig. The kulon poises on kizaisim, and all of them, you are poises kizaisim. Now, what does that mean, the kulon poises kizaisim? Is machloikas rishonim, whether this is a continuation of Reb Shimon, or whether this is aliba de kuli alma. Let's assume it goes according to Reb Shimon. What Reb Shimon is doing, says Rashi, he's arguing with our Tanna Kamma. Because our Tanna Kamma says you take your matzah and you go and fold it into four, Echon l'shnayim, shnayim l'arba, mavdil, and now the koyin goes his kmitza. Says Reb Shimon, no. It's going to be too large for the koyin to put his three fingers in, and even though he's going to vish it from both sides with the tzvay finger, that's going to be a difficult task. What you have to do is, you have to do further foldings. Not only one into two and two into four, but look at the Rashi here at the top. The kulon, Rashi is about the fifth, sixth line into the narrow lines. The kulon shetzrichem psisa mekaplen shnayim ledalid, vidalid v'ches, v'ches letezayin, ad shehu psisim kizaisim. You just keep on folding and folding and folding until the smallest fold at the end is going to be the size of a kizayis. So you got a lot of folds, not just 1 into 2, 2 into 4, 4 into 8, 8 into 16, 16 into 32, and keep on going from there into the millions. No, only until you get to the kizayis. Okay, Zoktimar, Tana Rabbanan. It says in the Pasuk, Pasuis Oisa Pitim. So you have a double lashon of Pasuis and Pitim. Zoktimar. Pasos yachol lishnayim, I would think only have to fold one into two. Tamaloyim epitim. Oh, epitim yachol yasen epirurin. Maybe you have to make it into small little crumbs and keep on folding and folding. No, tamaloyim oisa. Oisa lepsisim, lepsisim, lepsisim. What does that mean? Hoketzad. Mimchas Yisrael koichet echad lishnayim, ushnayim larba, umavdil, and then you're done, just like we said in the Mishnah, Tanakama holds just into four. And then you're mavdil. However, Mimchas Kehanim, koin Mashiach, in other words, the Gemara doesn't even bother continuing. Immediately, the Gemara jumps up. Mekapla? Look back in the Mishnah. It says, Loi hoye mekapla. And you're telling me, Koy Mashiach is mekapla. I'm mekapla l'shnayim. Like we spoke at when we learned the Mishnah, that even though the Mishnah sounds like you're not mekapla at all, oh no, you just don't do it four. You only do it two. What's the reason why? What's the makor that you do too? So those of you that still have your chumish, we're going to look up in Nachumul in the parsha of the Chavitin. Where do we have that parsha? Here in this week's parsha, Perig Vav, Pasuk Yud Gimel, and then Pasuk Yud Dalid. Zer Korban Aron Uvana V'Asher Kriv L'Hashem B'Yoyim Hi Moshech Oisai. In other words, the Kohen Gadol has now become Nimshach, as the Kohen Gadol. He has to bring every single day Asirus or Eifa Soilis Mincha, that's your Isaroi, Machtsisa, Oik Machtsisa Ba'arif. Next Pasuk. Al Machvas Bashemen Teosim or Bechas Tiviena, Tufine Minchas Pitim. Now here it doesn't say Posois Oisa Pitim. It just says Minchas Pitim. Oh, Minchas Pitim. One fold. And not twofold. How did we get the twofold? Because it said pasos, pitim. Where does the Taka say pasos, oisa, pitim? Legabe the machves or the marcheshes. But here, legabe the minchas chavitin, it only uses the term pitim once, not twice. That's why mekapla pamech. Right, Reb Shimon Oimer, minchas kehan, minchas kehan, mashiach, ain't ben psisa, there's no psisa at all. Reb Yosef. So now we get off a little bit on a tangent, but we're going to come back momentarily to our Gemara. Rav Yosef is now going into Hilchos Brachos. Look it up in Or HaChaim, what brachos you have to make. So Rav Yosef, Hai Chavitza, the Isba Pirurin Kizayis. You started with a chavitza. Chavitza, says Rashi, is some sort of machel that is cooked. You go and fry a machel, or you go and cook a machel. And in that machel, actually he doesn't refer to it as machel, he refers to it as tafshil. In that tafshil, you go and put in pieces of bread. Chavitza de isba pirurin kizayis. If the pieces of bread are a kizayis or larger, mevorchan alei hamoitzi lechmanot. You make a bracha hamoitzi. However, if the person took the piece of bread and he made it into such small pirurim, ilespa pirurim kezayis, small little pieces, mevarchan lei barimin hazayis. Then it becomes like a tuffle to your chavitza, and you only make a barimin hazayis, you don't make any more hamaitzi. Don't rely on this halacha hamaitzi, number one, because we're going to have a further discussion, and number two, it comes up nowadays in a whole bunch of different settings. You have, for instance, lots of people, when they eat their salad, then they, especially if you buy a salad in a store or whatever, then the in the salad they already put in these pirurim, small pieces of toasted bread, and they're typically less than a kezayis. So you're inclined to go and say, oh, we just learned the Gemara, it's less but pirurim, why you mean kezayis? Not so simple. Speak to your competent Orthodox rabbi. You have the same thing if you're taking chicken soup, and you didn't wash on the meal, we're not talking about in Shabbos, you always wash, but during the week, you take a soup and then you put in croutons. Now, of course, you have some croutons that don't look like bread at all. But you have croutons that look like bread and presumably are, in fact, bread which was toasted and then they cut it into small little pieces and then they put it into and they made it into croutons. Whether or not you have to make a moitzi on that, whether you have to make a mezoinus on that, speak to your competent Orthodox rabbi. But that's where this type of thing comes into play. That you have mixed in with some sort of tafshil, you put in pirun. So if the pirun are kezayis, hamoitzi. If they're less than the kezayis, barim and mezayis. Omer of Yosem min Aminullah. Where did I take this from? Oh, desani, we learned in the braisa. Ho ye oy meit umakrev minochis birushalayim. You have someone who's bringing a carbon mincha in Yushalayim. Oymer, baruch shachiyanu vikimanu. The chiyanu loves man. Why are you making a shachiyanu when you're bringing a carbon mincha? What's going on over here? So the Rashi down below brings two pshatim. It's talking about, if you see Rashi, about 6-7 lines from the bottom. Every koyin, as you know, had a mishmar. Every mishmar had worked 2 weeks a year. The mishmaris were 24 mishmaris. You have approximately 50 weeks in a Jewish year. So you had one mishmar at the beginning of the year, another mishmar at the end of the year. This koyin, for the first time this year, is now bringing his karbon mincha. Ooh, when he's doing the first time that year, baruch shechiyan v'kiman. And then, of course, the next year again. Not the second time in the year, only that time of the year. Now, it doesn't have to be talking about a koyin, says Rashi, lishna achrina, Yisrael shalehevi mincha miyamav. See, Yisrael is really different. Since he's not divided up into mishmarais, so it doesn't make a difference between this year and next year. The first time in his life that he's bringing a carbon mincha, he makes a shechiyanu. B'fnei kol kal am ve'eda, baruch shechiyanu, baruch Hashem, u'zeichet, to bring this carbon mincha. Okay. Anyway, that's the din of make the shechiyanu. Then the tongue and the ochlen, now when he takes it to eat it, of course, Rashi immediately points out, we're talking about the koyin. We don't mean the second shot about the Yisrael. Yisrael doesn't eat the mincha. Shirayim are always nechel to the kahanim. Oh, so when now the kohen comes to eat it, oimer hamoitzi lechem in ha'aretz. Okay, well, why not? After all, it's a matzah. Of course you make a moitzi. Utanan, the kulin p'sisim b'kezayis, that when they divided it up and gave everybody a piece, the piece was always a kezayis or more. So what do I see from that? That p'sisim of a kezayis, you make a moitzi. Says Rav Yosef, the same thing by this chavitza, if the pirurin are kezayis and more, it's a moitzi. Less than that is only a mezayis. Omli Abaya, ulatana veri rishmol, the oma mefarchan ad shemachziran lesoltan, hachinam le mevorach amoitzi. Based on what you just said now, Rav Yosef, that any pirurin which are less than a kezayis, you don't make a moitzi. Now, let's go to Rav Yishmol. Remember we said Rabbi Yishmael disagrees with our Mishnah. He doesn't hold of this folding and folding and folding business. He holds you just go and take the matzah and you make it into a matzah meal. Exactly. You can put it into a small mill, a hand mill if you want, and just mill it and make it into matzah meal. Oh, so you're going to tell me according to Rabbi Yishmael, mafarchen shemachzirim nesolzan hachanam lelim bavorach hamoitzi. That you don't make a moitzi. If you were to take some of that matzah meal in your spoon and you swallow it, you wouldn't make a moitzi on it. If it's less than a kezayis, I don't make a moitzi. V'atanya, we have another braisa. Liket mikulan kezayis v'acholoi. If you went and collected from these pirurin a full kezayis and you ate it, imchomitu anishkores. It's Pesach. If you've taken a whole kezayis of it, oy, kezayis of chomitz and Pesach menichrisa. Imatzahu adam yoytze ben yedei chavasi bePesach. If you've taken all these pirurin together, you take a spoonful, instead of taking a spoonful of morar, take a spoonful of matzah meal, and you swallow it down, you yoytze yedei chavasi bePesach. So you see, obviously, you make hamoytze even on pirurin, which are less than a kezayis. Just as an aside, note that this Bryce is talking about for Tanya Likin Mikulan Kizayas Vacholi Imchometsu. L'chayr, we're not talking about our karbonos, because there's no such thing as a mincha bo'a chometz. So what is this business about pirurin of chometz? So Rashi in the bottom says, I'm not exactly sure what the context is. See Rashi right before the wide lines on the bottom, liket mikulon apsisin she'en ben kezayis. We're talking about these small little crumbs, pirurin. I'm not sure where this price appears. Okay, so he's just talking in general. If you have tons and tons of matzah meal, nothing to do with Pesach, it's chometz tikka matzah.
Wait a minute,
where's
the
toida?
What about the
chometz
part of the
toida? Why would you be mefarchis the toida? After all, you're not putting a kemitza on the mizbeach.
You're not being mefarchis. You have crumbs. You have crumbs of the toda.
Okay, fine, I hear you. So therefore you have a teretz to Rashi's kasha, that we don't have to say that this is talking about chulin. It could be talking about a toida that you went and made crumbs out of, or maybe as you're cutting it up.
It crumbled on its own.
And now you take those crumbs together. If you're taking each one of them individually, that would be pretty crummy, right? Chas v'shalom, it's a carbon. But if you put them together, ooh, now if it happens to be a full shear of a kezayis, and you were to eat this, I'm sorry?
It's a kezayis, so you make a monthly.
Yeah, 100%. But now also talks about eating it on Pesach. Problem is, you don't... Exactly, that's why we don't say Mizma L'Saida. So why would he be eating chametz? See, you're going to tell me, what was it from a day before? It would be Pasul Belina, it would be Noiser. Okay, so...
It's also a Noiser. It's also Tomei, it's also Yosei. Okay, there is lots of things.
Yeah, like we discussed yesterday. Okay, so...
He's eating chametz on Pesach.
He's a bad guy. Okay, anyway, you see the difficulty of figuring it out. Barshim Shad is talking about regular pirurin, not related to menachas, not related to toida, not related to... You're certainly not going to get pirurin with shtei alechem on Pesach to be over on eating shtei alechem, which of course you bring on Shavuos. Okay, anyway, getting back to the Gemara, so l'choira I have a raya against Rav Yosef, because it says that you take these pieces together and you go and if it's Pesach, it's a matzah, you yoytzile chavasai, so the Gemara assumes, therefore, you'd make a moitzi on it. Everything mahakamai skin and bishirsan, nishkaraya. It's talking about that after you made it into the matzah meal, now you made it into a new dough, which is, of course, the way many people, those people that make knedlich, they take the matzah meal and you add water to it, and now you make a dough out of it and you make knedlich. Ah, so therefore, bishirsan means you didn't leave it in pirurin and take it with a spoon. If you took it with a spoon and took a whole kezayis, apparently Rav Yosef would hold you still make a mezoinos because each one of the pirurin is less than a kezayis. Ah, we said you could be yoytzer Pesach. Ah, it's talking about that you put it together and you made a knedel. I guess the person did not hold of kibratz. And therefore, when he eats it together as a knedel, then it's already one solid piece again. Oh! One solid piece, you can be yoytzi yidei chavosai of the matzahs on Pesach. If that's the case, that he put together as like a new isa, I got a problem. Now that you've merged it back together as one, it's no longer achlon, multiple pirurin, it's now one shtick, so it should say she'achloi. Says Yimoy, you're right. I fall away from that pshat, nu pshat. It depends what the yichus of these pirurin was. If the yichus of the pirurin started off with a small bulkala, and you make crumbs out of it, those small crumbs, this is gunished, and each crumb you would only make a mezoinus on, because of the fact that it didn't have a yichus of lechem gadol. However, you start with the lechem gadol, even if you have pirurim which are less than a kizayis, they go around with a big sign and said, I'm an enikel of this lechem gadol. And therefore you have to make a mitzi. Very interesting svari. See, Rashi, two lines at the bottom, b'mom lechem gadol, pirurim pochus b'kizayis, klein chik a small little ones, shepasas am lechem gadol, hein chashuvois agav avir, because these crumbs came from this lechem gadol, even though they themselves are gunished, they are less than a kizayis, nevertheless it has a chashivis agav abba, and they would go and make hamoitzi on it after all. Freitimon, my havi law, after this lengthy discussion, what's the halacha, Rav Sheshes Amar, afil pirurin she'ein ben kizayis, even pirurin which are less than a kizayis, you have to go and make hamoitzi on them, not like Rav Yosef. Even small little crumbs, coming off your challah, coming off your matzah, don't make mezoinis, you have to go and make a hamoitzi. Amarov avu de'ika turisa denahama alayu. But it has to be that you still have the word Teresa, says Rashi, Toar Maris Lechem. It still looks like a piece of bread, or it looks like a piece of matzah. If it is so infinitesimal, so small, it doesn't look like a piece of bread, or it doesn't look like a piece of matzah anymore, then you can make your mezonos. But if it still has the Toar of Lechem, then you make Hamoitzi, even though it's less than a kesayis. Halacha l'maisa, once again, consult the Shulchan Aruch and your favorite competent Orthodox rabbi. Have a wonderful Shabbos, everybody. Mitzvah, we're going to continue.